The table was silent. Finally, Martin Silenus looked up from where he had been writing on a small pad of paper. He tore a sheet into several smaller strips.
"I've recorded numbers from 1 to 7. Why don't we draw lots and go in the order we draw?"
"That seems rather childish, doesn't it?"
"I'm a childish fellow,"
responded Silenus with his satyr's smile.
"Ambassador,"
he nodded toward the consul,
"could I borrow that gilded pillow you're wearing for a hat?"
The consul handed over his tricorn. The folded slips were dropped in, and the hat passed around. Saul Weintraub was the first to draw, Martin Silenus the last. The consul unfolded his slip, making sure that no one else could see it. He was number 7. Tension ebbed out of him like air out of an overinflated balloon. It was quite possible, he reasoned, that events would intercede before he had to tell his story. Or the war would make everything academic. Or the group could lose interest in stories. Or the king could die. Or the horse could die. Or he could teach the horse how to talk.
"No more whiskey," thought the consul.
"Who's first?"
asked Martin Silenus. In the brief silence, the consul could hear leaves stirring to unfelt breezes.
"I am," said Father Hoyt.
The priest's expression showed the same barely submerged acceptance of pain which the consul had seen on the faces of terminally ill friends. Hoyt held up his slip of paper with a large 1 clearly scrawled on it.
"All right,"
said Silenus.
"Start."
"Now?" asked the priest.
"Why not?"
said the poet. The only sign that Silenus had finished at least 2 bottles of wine was a slight darkening of the already ruddy cheeks, and a somewhat more demonic tilt to the pitched eyebrows.
"We have a few hours before planetfall, and I, for one, plan to sleep off the freezer fugue when we're safely down and settled among the simple natives."
"Our friend has a point,"
Saul Weintraub said softly.
"If the tales are to be told, the hour after dinner each day is a civilized time to tell them."
Father Hoyt sighed and stood.
"Just a minute," he said, and left the dining platform.
After some minutes had passed, Braun Lamia said,
"Do you think he's lost his nerve?"
"No,"
said Lenar Hoyt, emerging from the darkness at the head of the wooden escalator, which served as the main staircase.
"I needed these."
He dropped 2 small, stained notebooks on the table as he took his seat.
"No fair reading stories from a primer,"
said Silenus.
"These are to be our own tall tales, Magus."
"Shut up, damn it,"
cried Hoyt. He ran a hand across his face, touched his chest. For the second time that night, the consul knew that he was looking at a seriously ill man.
"I'm sorry, but if I'm to tell my tale, I have to tell someone else's story as well. These journals belong to the man who was the reason for my coming to Hyperion, and why I am returning today."
Hoyt took a deep breath. The consul touched the journals. They were begrimed and charred as if they had survived a fire.
"Your friend has old-fashioned tastes if he still keeps a written journal."
"Yes. If you're all ready, I will begin."
The group at the table nodded. Beneath the dining platform, a kilometer of tree ship drove through the cold night with the strong pulse of a living thing. Saul Weintraub lifted his sleeping child from the infant carrier and carefully set her on a cushioned mat on the floor near his chair. He removed his comm log, set it near the mat, and programmed the disk key for white noise. The week-old infant lay on her stomach and slept. The consul leaned far back and found the blue and green star which was Hyperion. It seemed to grow larger even as he watched. Hetmastine drew his cowl forward until only shadows showed for his face. Saul Weintraub lighted a pipe. Others accepted refills of coffee and settled back in their chairs. Martin Silenus seemed the most avid and expectant of the listeners as he leaned forward and whispered.
He said, "Sin I shall begin the game, what, welcome be the cut, a god's name. Now let us ride, and hearkneth what I say, and with that word we ride and forth our way." And he began with right a merry cheer, his tale anon, and said, as ye may hear.